Our guest is James Abbate, Managing Director and Chief Investment Officer at Center Asset Management. James, a debate has raged through the weekend about whether or not the FedEx story, the FedEx news, was company-specific or a canary in the coal mine. Can we say it's both?
Yes, absolutely. I think we are getting the indication with FedEx's announcement that we're going into the next derating stage of the stock market. We're now moving away or compounding the derating from interest rate increases and risk premiums increasing to now the EPS derating stage, where companies are going to, in essence, fess up that earnings are not going to be as strong as expected. You still have consensus S&P earnings, you know, positive for the fourth quarter and heading into 2023. So something's got to break here. And I think we're still, you know, early on in this bear market. Let's remember, you know, we're only about 6 months and about 20 percentage points down from where the 50-day moving average crossed to the 200-day moving average. And holding with the 2000 to 2002 analog, you know, that time period where the 50 was below the 200 was almost 2.75 years and the market was down 36%. And it's a lot of consistencies between now and back then.
James, are you suggesting that the benchmarks are at the moment pricing in a recession then?
No, not even close. I think you still have the derating stage coming where earnings need to come down. I think one of the most useful exercises that we do is look at EPS trends and margins from a standard deviation perspective. And what that does is it highlights, you know, first off, companies are much more efficient than they've been over the course of history. But the abnormality of this positive standard deviation on earnings and margins over the last few years is starting to come down, particularly as productivity is starting to wane.
James, how much of that has been skewed by the amount of share buybacks that have been taking place there?
Well, I think, you know, buybacks are something that has distorted EPS and has been a contributing factor. And unfortunately, the new tax regulations, which have been put in place, actually are net of issuance of securities that are going to be offered in terms of options. So, you know, to the extent where the government or the Congress could have done something genuinely to curb, in essence, the financial shenanigans that we see, which is simply just a transfer of wealth from shareholders to corporate executives, unfortunately, they didn't take advantage of that.
So the Fed sort of missed this story last year. Does it look like they've missed it this year? Will this be a case for the Fed of be careful what you wish for?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, the Fed has created such an amount of volatility by keeping interest rates at zero and essentially monetizing the debt that was used to, you know, bolster the economy during the pandemic. Unfortunately, if you kind of look at it, the Fed's kind of like the arsonist who works as a volunteer fireman to fix the damage that they do.
Of course, the biggies of Fed, we've been talking a little bit about that as well, certainly here, James. The thing is that about inflation, sure, it was a supply shock to begin with, moving into the demand side of things, but how far is it? And longer term, how far is the nature of inflation changing structurally?
I think that's really a key point that the Fed needs to be aware of, because obviously, as you point out rightly, the Fed can only really control the demand side of the equation. I mean, they're on their way to what seems to be a 4% terminal rate, which will probably put mortgage rates near 7%, which is going to do quite a bit of damage to the housing market. They've inverted the curve under, you know, any maturity, which is going to start having an impact on profitability in the financial services sector. But when you look at the supply side, I think one of the things that we've, you know, I have concern about is that the recent sell-off that we've had in a lot of industrial commodities, oil being most important, is that you've seen companies with very, very low capital spending plans actually now start to even pull them back further or question, you know, whether or not in the out years that they'll be increasing. So when you look at the, you know, very simple financial ratio, the asset replacement ratio, which is nothing more than capital spending divided by depreciation, for the aggregate S&P energy sector, that's at the lowest level we've seen in more than two decades. It's, so you know, basically these companies aren't spending money to add capacity.
Yeah, it could have implications for future growth. But if we look at the problem of inflation, we've had low interest rates for a long time and we didn't have a big spike up in inflation. Could you argue that it was more the fiscal side, the federal government government transfers that contributed more to this than the Fed's low interest rates? But, I mean, it doesn't change the story that the Fed missed it last year.
Well, I think they're intertwined, right? Because the only way you can adopt modern monetary theory or debt monetization by the Fed is to have exceptionally low interest rates, because in essence, at the governmental level, Congress, that is, they feel that they can borrow with impunity, because in essence, the cost of increasing the debt, like Dick Cheney said, you know, who cares about the deficit? Well, you start caring about it when interest rates go from 0 to 4 or 5%.
Well, this is it, isn't it? And that's when people do start caring. And as you mentioned, mortgage rates going up as much as they are likely to as well. That's going to all hurt and might feed through into, of course, how people vote. And we have the midterms coming up. Democrats surprisingly have turned the tables on the Republicans in the polls that I've been looking at. But ultimately, it is the ruling party which ends up, the ruling party in the White House, which ends up paying the price electorally. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, we're clearly a nation divided. I think it's likely that the House will turn Republican, maybe not to the same margin that it expected a little bit. But, unfortunately, I think all of us, who expected Biden to be this Erasmus-like figure who would reconcile things and bring calm to the country, unfortunately, he's only inflamed the temperature that he inherited from President Trump. So, I don't see where this goes in terms of a better place. I think we just continue to be in a one side versus the other with in essence, escalation almost.
James, you're always discerning, but you seem more bearish now than I can remember in a while.
It's a point in time, because I think people are of the expectation that, once the Fed is done, the assumptions that the Fed's going to go 75 in September, 50 in November, 25 in December, which gives us a terminal rate of about 4%, which is in essence what the 1-year Treasury note is right now. Yeah. Where I'm concerned about is on the earnings side. And that's really in the FedEx news that we talked about before, I think is just an indication of where we are. I think the other thing that's causing me great concern is the geopolitical risk. People are reading some of the success and perhaps the meetings with Putin Z in with regard to Russia and China. Maybe Russia is giving China advance notice that it's about to escalate the conflict in Ukraine. So that's something no one really has talked about.
James, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. James Abate, the Managing Director and Chief Investment Officer at Center Asset Management. This is Bloomberg.